going through doing what I call Doing Life series, and we've been adding some short music videos. Today I'm going to add one more. This could be the last one, but I'm going to add one more. This one is called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. And I like this one because it reminds us of who Jesus is, that friend of sinners. But it also reminds us, there's this phrase in here, and you'll hear it. It says, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing finger. And so let's take a look at this music video, and then we're going to talk about the harvest is still waiting. Sometimes I wonder, if the church sees the world around us. You know what I mean? Some of these little snapshots up here were examples. Leprosy and little girls sitting on their bed with a pistol laying right beside her and another dead black man. Sometimes I wonder if the church sees that world around us. And so I wonder this morning, can I ask you to make this personal? Do you think we see around us these kind of people, or the AIDS victims, or the homeless, or the widow, or the single mothers? Do you think that we in the church today see the pierced and tattooed? Do we see the prostitute, the runaway, the troubled kids, or those singled out children that everybody is picking on? Do we see the addict or the incarcerated? And of course, I mean, when I say, do you think that we see them, I really mean, do we care in the church? Jesus is a friend of sinners. The Bible is full of those examples. This little music video just touches on it a little bit. And in there is a phrase that says, break our hearts for what breaks yours. A lot of things in society today are breaking the heart of God. I wonder if it breaks the heart of the church. You see, brothers and sisters, seeing is not the issue, but caring and loving, I think, is. After all, it was Jesus that said the greatest command is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then he said the second is just like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm not sure that seeing is the issue, but I think that caring and loving is. I wonder if it's possible for people to come right here to our church and not be seen. People all around, and yet not be seen. I wonder if it's possible that you're going to school with, or going to work with, or live right beside somebody that we just don't see them. They're just not in my category. Every day we encounter people at work or at play or at school or whatever else, and we don't see them. Well, we might actually see them, but we don't go out of our way to see them. And we surely don't go out of our way to actually care for them. You see, friends, when I think of these three brief passages that I'm going to read for you next regarding the harvest, Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he was here, of course, but the harvest, as I've entitled today's message, is still waiting. There's still a harvest. There wasn't Jesus' time. There was ever since Jesus was here. There still is a harvest. And I think it this way. You know, we talked about being a fan, just a fan of Jesus, which is a casual admirer, or a follower, We talked about that for a good long time this past fall, and I think the harvest is applicable in this way. We are either part of the harvest yet, or we are part of the harvesters. One or the other. And so let me give for you three little short scriptures that Jesus talks about this harvest and challenge us in this Doing Life series to see the world as Jesus sees it. Matthew 9, 35 to 38 is the first scripture. If you have your Bible, please turn in there. Otherwise, I'm sure Tim will have it for you on the big screen. It's good to see this in your Bible. It's good to open up your Bible. It's good to follow along in your Bible. It's good to read your Bible. I hope that this new year, some of you have embarked on reading the Bible all the way through because it's just a good spiritual discipline for us to do. But I'm reading the first one from Matthew 9. This is no set of strange verses to any of you. You know what it says, I think. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered. They were like sheep having no shepherd. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, today, if the church sees the weary and scattered, sees them like sheep having no shepherd, and actually care. Then he said to his disciples, after he had seen these, he had compassion for them. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Luke 10, verses 1 to 3. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. John 4, 31 to 38. This setting we referred to not that long ago because we saw Jesus visiting this Samaritan woman at the well. This is the extension of that same story. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? And he challenges them and says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Bear in mind the setting. He is in Samaria. He has just spoken to the Samaritan woman. He is talking at this woman at the well. And he's challenging his disciples here a third time in Scripture. Look at the fields around you. Even though we're in unfamiliar territory, perhaps uncomfortable territory, look at the harvest fields around you. They're white for harvest, he said. Take a look. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Friends, Jesus in these passages isn't just talking about someone else's church. He's talking about his followers, us, the followers of that day, and us. And I want you to think for a moment, ponder this question, what is the role of the church today in the harvest? I want us to think about that. What is the role of the church If you have been born again, doesn't matter what denomination we're part of, if you have trusted Christ Jesus as Lord, you're part of His family, which makes up part of the church. And my question is, as I read these scriptures over and over, and I see the challenges of Jesus, the plea of Jesus, the harvest fields around us are ripe and ready for harvest. I ask us, brothers and sisters, today, what is the role of the church in the harvest? I said this earlier, and I believe a follower, we talked about fan versus follower, I believe a follower is commissioned to be part of the harvest. I do not say we all have to be pastors, missionaries, evangelists, but I do say, I believe Jesus is saying that His followers, which we make up and are part of, are to be part of the harvest. And yet I wonder, do we take these matters that this little music video reminded us very seriously? Break our heart for what breaks yours. I wonder sometimes if we care. And I wonder, is the role of the church today to look the other way and see if some other church may be taking up that cross or taking up that or that issue or taking up that matter? And so in the meantime, we just say someone else will do that. Someone else can take care of that. Somebody else can minister to that coworker of mine because I don't like them. What is the role of the church today in the harvest? Friends, I believe the words of Jesus in these three passages are applicable today. The harvest fields are ripe. The harvest fields are white with harvest. And I wonder if we're thinking today, is the role of the church to stay safe and sound, tucked in our own homes, doing our own thing, minding our own business, and never bothering anyone? Is that our role? Listen to me for a second, brothers and sisters. I assure you, that's not what the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and the Muslims are doing. They're not sitting at home. They're looking for converts. They're looking for converts to their movement. And it isn't even following Jesus. How about Jesus' followers take some initiative that Jesus gave to His disciples and recognize that there is a harvest that is white for harvesting? When Jesus said to His disciples, the harvest field are ripe, I don't think he was saying, just head on home, boys, and hope somebody shows up at your house and maybe you can tell them about Jesus. I don't think He was saying that. Maybe, perchance, someone will stop by and you can tell them what He's done for you. I don't think He said that then, and I don't think He's saying that now. We know what the Great Commission says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It is emphatically to His disciples, of which we make up part because we have become followers of Christ, to go. That's the Great Commission. We don't have to go to Kenya or Honduras. We can. We don't have to be a pastor, evangelist, priest, or prophet. We can go right where we work. We can go right where we live. The commission is to go because the disciples heard it firsthand, and we see it again. The harvest fields are ripe and ready, and the laborers, well, there aren't very many of them. Friends, I just think that going to everyday life like we do day after day, all of us do, whether it's to work or to school or to whatever it is, without any sense of urgency for the harvest, is not what Jesus has called us to. There is an urgency about the harvest. People are dying around us every day, young and old alike, many of whom are not ready to die spiritually speaking. And I wonder if we would really sincerely pray what this little song reminded us. Open our eyes, Lord, to the end of our pointing finger. Open our eyes to those out there that hurt. Open our eyes to those that are longing for some kind of peace. Maybe we can point them to the Prince of Peace. I wonder if we could earnestly say, break our heart, O God, for what breaks yours. Because there's a whole lot around us, brothers and sisters, that are breaking the heart of God. The harvest is great, Jesus said. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. He said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but it's necessary. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the same today as it was then. Jesus is beckoning the church to come and be part of the harvest of souls. I know the argument. I know you can throw it back at me. Well, God does a saving. I know that. But he uses his church to tell people that Jesus loves you. He uses his church to come alongside that hurting coworker, that single mom, that widow lady, that drug addict, that incarcerated person, whatever it is, he uses the church to become the hands and feet of Jesus. He uses the church to go love our neighbor as ourself and mean it. I know God does the saving, but he uses the church to be his hands and to be his feet and to be his voice and say, there is a God in heaven that loves you. Jesus is a friend to sinners. Sometimes, I suppose, we start to get a little like the Pharisees and look down at people that are different. The Bible is full of references where the Pharisees scoffed at Jesus for even having anything to do with sinners. I hope we never get there. Jesus is a friend of sinners, just like this music video said. And I believe, brothers and sisters, he invites the church to be there for the world, to be their friend too. Why? So that they can see Jesus. You say, Jim, how? What am I supposed to do? We start with prayer. Everybody in your circle, whether it's at work or at home or where, or somewhere in between, we start with prayer. And maybe we give them a brochure. We've always got brochures back here that you can hand away. Maybe we invite them to church. Maybe we stop in and actually help them with something. Maybe we show them we care. Maybe we go out like some of the other movements are doing and we go knock on doors and say, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I pray for you? Anything to show them there is a God in heaven that exists and cares. And so you know what I think, friends? I think God is still waiting for the church to care enough to see there's a harvest field around us that's ripe. Now let me just close with this, and then we're going to sing a closing song. I could come here each week to make us feel cozy and comfortable and all good about life and what's going on, friends. I could come here and make us all cozy and comfortable, even if sometimes we're living in sin and never mention it, never address it, never address the challenges of life, but I wouldn't be doing you any good. I wouldn't be doing me any good. I wouldn't be doing you any good. Friends, I don't know how long it's going to be till Jesus returns, but I think time's running out on humanity. And if the church of Jesus Christ, I mean the body of believers, the followers of Jesus Christ who have been born again and filled with his Spirit, are not going to pay any attention or enough attention, I don't mean any, but enough attention to the ripe harvest fields, then I assure you nobody else is going to either. And so I want to challenge you this morning just one more time, then we'll sing this song with the words that this little music video reminded us. Open our eyes to the world, Lord. Whoever that world is around us, open the eyes, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers.